Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here to hear your word. We thank you for giving us your word to study. We just ask that you would open it up to us, Lord. Please let you be glorified, and we just ask that you would just forgive us of our sins. And Jesus, in your name we pray, amen. So we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 is going to be our main text that we're going to be looking at. This is continuing on in our theme, which is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." First question I want to address is, who is this Word that is being spoken of? Get a little insight into that if we look at verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So we're going to see from Scripture here that clearly the Word is Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:1-2 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." So the Word here that we're talking about is none other than the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:16 says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And Luke 1:31-35 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And Galatians 4:4-5. I hope you have your Bibles with you, because we're going through some Scripture. Galatians 4:4-5. Says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So from these Scriptures, we can clearly see that Christ is the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that was God. John gives us a little bit of a different angle than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they can cover his birth and his conception. John jumps in right into the deity of Christ and shows us that not only is he God, but he's also man. In verse 14, he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's three things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Second thing we're going to look at is how we beheld His glory and the glory of the Father. And the third thing is how Christ came full of grace and truth. So Christ came and dwelt among us. The word for dwelt means He literally tabernacled or pitched a tent among us. Psalm 8:4 says, "What is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him?" It's amazing that the Son of God would come and take on humanity when we are nothing but dust, the weakness and the frailties of humanity, and here's Christ humbling Himself and coming into this world. Genesis 3:17-19 shows us the original fall of man and God's curse upon man. So this is after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. 3:17-19 says, "Then to Adam He said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return.'" Psalm 78:39 says, "For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again." In that psalm, he's talking about God's compassion that He had on His people because He remembered that they were but flesh. And Romans 8:3-8 "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So that is the neat thing about Christ. Here He is, He's come into this world. All of our frailties and our weaknesses, we are at enmity against God. Yet Christ is 100% man and He's 100% God. Which means, unlike us, He came and He was completely sinless. Because He didn't go through the natural birth and have Adam's sin imputed to Him. He had, as we read in Luke, we learned that it was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. And so Christ entered the world sinless. And Christ had to come into this world, because if He did not, there would be no hope for us. He had to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, because we had sinned against the Almighty God. We all are in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, And Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll turn with me to 1 John 1, 8 and 10. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So without Christ, our condition is utterly hopeless. Without Christ, we are doomed to everlasting punishment, hell. We have no hope without Christ. So when Christ came into the world, when the Word came flesh and he dwelt among us, he brought with him eternal life. John 6, verse 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Not only did he come to give his life for the life of the world, but he also came to preach the gospel. He came to draw us to repentance. Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Luke 4:18 and 19 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. I flipped to the wrong spot. We are going to get to that verse. Luke 4:18 and 19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Christ came to save us. Christ came to die for the sinner. Christ came for his people, the one that he had chosen from the foundation of the world. Second thing is we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We're going to look at how the glory of God is revealed through Christ, how Christ and the Father are one. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And John 6:38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. John 14:9 says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us Father? And then if we look down a few verses in John, at verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So Well, the only way for us to know who God is to know who Jesus is. We access God by going to Jesus. We know that God is compassionate, and we know that He is just, all through what we know of Jesus and what we know of His teachings. Thirdly, we're going to look at the grace and truth. It says Christ came among us full of grace and truth. What truth did Christ proclaim? In John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice." And John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Grace is awesome. It's amazing that Christ would give us this free gift, because we are so undeserving, so unworthy of anything. We can do nothing to merit God's love. There's nothing in us. We are totally depraved. And so the fact that Christ came into this world, that God loved us so much that He gave His only Son to come and die for us, is amazing. Webster's Dictionary defines grace as unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, and as a virtue coming from God. It just should fill you with joy to know that God has grace on us. Right here in John 1 at verse 16, he says, "And His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You know, studying for this and preparing, pressing on my mind was going through the book of Numbers with Pastor on Tuesday nights. And I encourage you all, if you haven't been intending to do so, it's a beautiful study that we've been looking at. And you can really see the grace that God had upon His people, His mercy. Here they are, a rebellious people. They're complaining against Moses and Aaron, constantly complaining against God. And yet, He has compassion on them. God, in His wrath, wants to destroy them, yet we see Moses as a type of Christ. He interjects for them. He pleads for them with God. He prays for them. And God has mercy on them. That's who Jesus is for us. Christ coming and dwelling among us, He's our advocate with the Father. He's our Moses, if you want to say. He's the one that we go to, and He pleads for us with the Father. And it's easy to look at the Old Testament. I know I've done it several times, and look and say, "Look at those people. Look how rebellious they are. I'm glad I'm not one of those people." You know? Man, they had it coming, everything God gave them. And yet, that is me. That is us. We are those people. We constantly rebel against God. We're never happy. We complain. If it's hot, we say it's too hot. It's cold, it's too cold. You know, we're never happy. When it should be just the opposite. We should take joy in the Lord. We should have all the joy in the world because Christ came into it and died for us. We should be complainers and mumblers, yet we are. So that's why we constantly need to go and ask for forgiveness. So the very fact that Christ came into this world and he dwelt among us. And he was full of grace and truth. He showed us who our Heavenly Father is. He showed us who he was. He had weakness in his flesh. He got tired. He was hungry. So he knew, and he does know, exactly what it's like to be us frail humans, which makes him the perfect advocate for us. Does this truth grab you? Does this make you think? Because it should. We, in our natural state, are deserving of hell. So we must repent. We must seek Christ. He's the only way of salvation. As we read earlier, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And none can come to the Father except through him. If you want to know what to do to be saved, if you turn to Acts 16, verse 31. Acts 16:31. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And I'd like to close with a scripture from 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 through 25. It says, "Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, Lord. We thank you for sending him full of grace and truth and beholding your glory in his face. We thank you that you are mercy upon us. We just ask that you would help us to live for you each and every day, Lord. Help us not take for granted the fact that we have our Bibles to learn of you. Help us to read your word, write it in our hearts and minds. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.